Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Richard Osborne and the Expert Language Trainer Podcast. So yeah, welcome to the next episode, episode 14 of the Expert Language Trainer Podcast. I'm here with Scott Benedict at the TPRS conference in Agen in France. Beautiful sunny day, 40 degrees, we're all dying. Everybody wants to go home, but I've managed to catch him for 10 minutes just to explain because I didn't know what TPRS was. I'm a big fan of Stephen Krashen, and I would really like to hear from somebody who really knows about it just to chat a bit about what TPRS is and what it can do for language trainers and what's the point of it all. So could you tell us a bit more about it, Scott?
Sure. TPRS stands for Teaching Proficiency Through Reading and Storytelling, and it's based off Krashen's comprehensible input idea that through narratives with students that are student-generated, led by the teachers, and then extensive reading, that they can improve their proficiency and work their way towards speaking and eventually writing.
Okay, great. So, I mean, this is coming from Krashen's, mostly from the comprehensible input hypothesis, right?
We follow all five of his hypotheses. So the comprehensible is the main one, and then you have the natural order hypothesis. So we don't shelter what we call shelter grammar. So we, like a child, we use all the grammar that's necessary to talk correctly, but we shelter vocabulary. We keep our vocabulary very simple, so that they can acquire the language naturally, and so they'll learn the tenses as they naturally would as a child.
Then
we don't work on there's the affective filter is another big one that we work on. The affective filter, like to call stress, we try to make it in a low stress environment so the kids are more apt to understand what's going on.
Okay, so yeah, affective filter for, I guess, maybe to explain a little bit about the hypotheses for those who don't know, affective filter I think is a really important one where, I mean, what we're doing, we're trying to give that level of comprehensible input is reduce the amount of stress of, oh my God, this is so much new language, I don't know this. And what I saw today in the coaching sessions this morning, but also in the sessions in the afternoon with Diane, for example, was a lot of stuff about really going as slowly as possible and making sure everyone understands the text before moving on and not getting hung up on words they don't know, like you said, grammar points, stuff like that. Really, really just focusing on the core of what it is to naturally understand a language, right?
And we also build upon the relationships with students, and that's really important in the method, that we build these relationships with students so that it's just a whole stressless environment. Yeah. So you'll see them asking a lot of what we call personalized questions. Mm-hmm. So we go deeper than a normal language class would go to really get to know the students and build that rapport with them so that they feel more comfortable being in the class. Yeah. I know my students say they don't think they're learning anything because it doesn't look like school.
Yeah.
We don't give the homework. We talk about, you know, social things. We just have conversations in class. We don't have a textbook. We're not memorizing vocabulary. We're just talking in the target language. And because of that, it's a different atmosphere, and their affective filter goes way down.
Yeah, sure.
And then their brains open up to the language.
Okay. So I think building relationships, one thing I'd be really interested to talk about more, but just to stick with TPRS, when you're in a class with learners who have already this very fixed idea of what education looks like, they've never done a method like this before, how much resistance comes up, and how do you deal with resistance from people who say, you know, that you said, I don't feel like I'm learning, and that's kind of a good thing because I believe in the subconscious process. What about people who don't really believe that and they're like, I don't feel like I'm learning, you're not teaching me anything, what's happening here?
Most of the students don't feel that way.
Okay.
If we get any back, it's coming from usually coming from other teachers who are still in the textbook.
Okay.
I've been doing this for 18 years. I've not had any problems with parents in all 18 years. Most administration, when they see what the kids can do, they're impressed.
Yeah.
When the kids can see what they can do, they're impressed with what they're doing, and they don't ever usually want to opt to do more work.
Mm-hmm.
So they are okay with what it looks like not doing anything.
Yeah.
Even though I know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's usually other teachers who don't believe in comprehensible input that are resistant to it.
Okay. Do you think that that's the same in the adult world? Did you have much experience in training adults or professionals, for example, in the same thing?
I've not trained adults doing it, but when we in America, we have what's called back to school night, where the parents come in and see what's going on in the classroom.
Yeah.
And I use that time, instead of talking about my class and the rules and all that, I teach those parents.
Great.
And okay. We have about 10 minutes to do so, and they're like, oh, I wish I would have learned this way. I would have been able to use the language if I could have done it this way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got the impression that when you do a TPRS, or even just one TPRS activity, with Judith, I did one there with a movie one, and you have the impression that even if you were to feel like, oh, I don't feel like I'm learning consciously, by the end of the activity, she was saying, and I would be sure about it as well, the learners would be able to understand something and would be able to compare back to the beginning of the class and say, this same clip I wasn't able to understand at the beginning. Now I'm listening to it with no words, no subtitles, no text. And suddenly through all the activities I did, I'm able to understand fluent English. So I think maybe is there that kind of like aha moment.
Yes.
Very early on in TPRS where you say, this really works. Like, yeah.
And that's what happens with our kids. They say they don't learn anything until they're put in a situation where they have to actually use the language.
Yeah.
So kids will come back, you know, say at their job or out in the world, they meet up with someone who speaks Spanish. That's what I teach. And they said, I was able to actually communicate with them. And so that's when they have that aha moment. In America, they don't really have a lot of those aha moments because they can function 100% in English without worrying about it. So until they have that aha moment, they don't think that they're really learning. It's, you know, in the classroom, yeah, I can do it in the classroom, but does it really apply outside the classroom?
Okay.
Here in Europe, you have more opportunities to speak other languages, so they'll have that aha moment much quicker.
Yeah, but that would be interesting for me to know how quick it is, exactly what you just said, where they go out. Because I'm thinking, you know, you're learning through storytelling, story listening, or whatever the method is. And then you're thinking, okay, I understood that text, but how is that going to apply to my spontaneous speech? And then you go out, and I don't know how quick it is to the point where they go out. And I know that Krashen talks about the silent period as well, that they need that silent period, but there must be a moment where suddenly they just like come out with something spontaneously. You're like, how did I even know that?
Yeah,
like,
we honor the silent period, and we don't force kids to talk before they're ready. So just like babies, you know, you don't say it's 2 years old, you should be talking right now. So it's about 3-4 months in, I find in my classrooms, is when they start spontaneously bringing, because we're constantly asking them questions in the target language, and they'll start answering, and they'll go from one word to two words to a short phrase, maybe the entire sentence. So it doesn't take that long for that to happen, but it's about a 3 month silent period that we have in school before that starts to happen.
You got to get a good commitment then from the learners to be like, okay, you really won't be doing what you expect to be doing for a while, and that's okay, and it's okay not to speak. I actually find that what we did this morning, I was telling Diane, I was in her Chinese class, and I've never learned Chinese before, and she was doing things with the class and I was an observer, and just by decoding what she had on the board and listening to what she was doing with the students, I started being able to form my own ideas in my head in Chinese, like with the words, like I like chocolate or something like that. And I really wanted to say it. I was itching to say it. You know, you had that, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes of just sitting and listening and decoding. And then I was really excited about wanting to get into it and say it. So I had that feeling, that aha moment as well. And I think that really convinced me this morning, this is something I need to learn more about, because it's really interesting. Where, if somebody's interested in what we're talking about, where can they go to learn more about TPRS?
Okay, well, the main original site is tprsbooks.com.
Okay.
That's where the founder site is. There's also fluencymatters.com.
Okay.
Those are the two main websites, but most of us hang out in various Facebook groups.
Okay.
And there's one that's titled after the two major American conferences, IFLT/NTPRS.
Okay.
And so you can become a member of that, and people communicate, they ask questions, they explore different ideas, all there, and a lot of us are on there, and you can find out about all kinds of things.
Cool. I'll post those links under the podcast. Okay. Is there anywhere you could go to get training? Because that's something I think a lot of people around the world are going to be saying, okay, but I would like to actually learn about how to do this more. Yeah, coming to Agen. So if you can get a flight to France, then that's cool. Yeah. But if you're in, like, I've got people in my network who are listening to me probably in, like, Israel and stuff like that. So
we've got
tricky.
There's the two major conferences in America, and you find out those on fluencymatters.com and on TPRS Books. Now, something that's interesting, we have on my website, comprehensible.online, is an online conference that we put on in the spring.
Excellent.
And so all the sessions are recorded. We have about 30% international participants.
Cool.
And you can watch it in your own time zone at your own leisure.
Yeah.
So that's another option.
Very good. Okay, so there's loads of ways to actually find out more. You just need to know. So I hope people check out the links. And thanks a lot for inviting me. It was really, really nice. And definitely check out TPRS. It's something to do a bit of research on. And see you later.
Thanks for checking out this podcast. And if you want to know more, please follow me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. All the links are in the description. I really look forward to seeing you in the next episode.